This is DW News live from Berlin. Tonight, justice in Turkey, surprise and disbelief as a court acquits 9 anti-government activists in a landmark case from 2013. But tonight, one of them could soon face new charges in connection with the coup attempt in Turkey in 2016. Also coming up, rescuing migrants in the Mediterranean. Despite the perils, many desperate people are still trying to get to Europe. We'll have an exclusive report from a rescue ship. Plus, to some, he's a hero of free speech. To others, a threat to U.S. national security. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange prepares to face a British court that could extradite him to the U.S. and possibly years in prison. I'm Brent Goff. It's good to have you with us. Tonight, there are new questions about the independence of the Turkish justice system. A Turkish philanthropist and activist who earlier today was acquitted of trying to overthrow the government could face new charges tonight. Osman Kavala had been one of a number of people accused of organizing protests in the 2013 against plans to develop one of Istanbul's last green spaces at Gezi Park. Those protests took on an anti-government tone. The new detention order tonight is in connection with Kavala's alleged role in an attempted coup in Turkey 3 years later in the summer of 2016. More on this now. I'm going to pull in Dorian Jones. He's on the story for us in Istanbul. Good evening to you, Dorian. So what are we looking at here? We've got Istanbul prosecutors. They've issued a new detention order for Kavala. So what exactly is going on tonight?
Well, it's a very dramatic event. Yes, the Istanbul prosecutors in a statement said that they had issued a detention order for Kavala in relation to the failed coup attempt of 2016. They also said that they were appealing the acquittal of Kavala, which will be a further blow to his family and supporters. Many of them were waiting outside the prison, expecting to welcome into freedom after 2.5 years in pre-trial detention. But with the announcement of this prosecutor's new detention order, they quickly left the prison. And I think with it, the initial euphoria of the hope that these terrible trial and a detention that he suffered was coming to an end. Now, I think the realization is that any hope of any early release is starting to fade fast.
And Dorian, do we know, is this legal? Have we seen something like this happen before where suddenly you have the possibility of new charges in connection with something that, you know, that happened 4 years ago when charges should have been filed then?
Well, absolutely. And in fact, in two other very high profile cases, the well-known writer, internationally renowned writer, Ahmet Altan, he was released by a court and within hours, a new detention order was issued and he was kept in prison. And he still remains in prison to this day. And also in another very high profile case, the leader of Turkey's main, former leader of Turkey's main pro-Kurdish party, Selahattin Demirtas, again. Then he was released following a European Court of Human Rights ruling calling for his release, and again a new detention order is released and he is still in prison today. And I think that this will be a great deal of concern for Kavala, because this does seem to be a pattern, especially of these very high profile cases, in particular cases where President Erdogan has voiced very strong views in support of the prosecutions. We have seen when they are acquitted, again new orders are released and they are brought back into jail.
And what does this tell us then about the independence of the Turkish justice system, Dori?
Well, President Erdogan always insists that the judiciary is independent, but it has to be said that there has been this growing concern within Turkey, human rights organizations, and also internationally, and particularly from the European Union, which have been watching particularly this case of Kavala. This was a very important case, particularly as they saw it as a key watershed moment for the Turkish judiciary, whether it was able to increasingly establish a new independence. There have been some cases in the last few months of high-profile people being released. There was hope that this Kavala case would be another benchmark. Given what has happened, this will only fuel those critics who say that the judiciary remains under the firm control of President Erdogan.
All right, our correspondent Dorian Jones with the latest tonight from Istanbul. Dorian, thank you very much. Well, one of the biggest challenges facing Europe is how to manage the flow of migrants, many of them undertaking perilous journeys from sub-Saharan Africa to Libya and across the Mediterranean. Rescue ships operated by charities and other NGOs patrol the coast off of Libya, but still many migrants are drowning. DW's Mia Drog-Zoric joined one of those rescue ships, and he sent us this exclusive report.
From the deck of the rescue ship Ocean Viking, Nicholas Romaniuk is scanning the sea for a boat with migrants on board. The Ocean Viking is about 130 kilometres off the Libyan coast. That means it's in international waters.
We have an alert for a possible wooden boat with 90 packs on board. I was wondering if you have a visual.
Border control pilots are in radio contact. The border patrol is searching the area with small aircraft or helicopters. They say they think they've spotted the migrant boat with 90 people on board.
Approximately 3 knots.
The migrant boat is now clearly visible.
Starboard bow. Approximately 10 degrees.
Rescue dinghies are ready to be deployed. Tongi is one of the most experienced staff when it comes to sea rescues. He tells his colleagues what he knows about the refugees so far. And the mission begins.
If we can give everybody a life jacket, it means that nobody's gonna drown.
The two rescue dinghies set off for the migrant boat, along with the ship. It's important not to rush this part of the operation, to take time to assess the situation. The wooden migrant boat is overloaded with 84 passengers, all young men. The danger that they might stand up and become agitated and tip over the boat is a big concern. That's why the first thing they're getting are life vests. It will take 3 trips back and forth to get all the migrants on board the Ocean Viking. Most of them are from Bangladesh, Morocco and Somalia, with a few from Algeria and the Gambia. 21 are under 18 years old. They came along without parents or relatives.
You all received a rescue kit. Inside of it, there is high energy food, water, clothes, and a blanket.
The migrants are also addressed in Arabic and other languages. Every single person will be examined by the doctors on board.
It was a dangerously overcrowded boat. We're super lucky the weather is so calm and the water was flat. Otherwise, I could see it would have been a super critical rescue. So I'm really happy about that. The people are quite exhausted. Some of them found it quite difficult to climb onto the boat and to climb up onto Ocean Viking. But otherwise, luckily, they seem like the health condition is good.
The migrants are weak, but now safe. They're happy to be alive.
All right, our correspondent, Mia Drog-Zoric, he is on board the Ocean Viking, which is off the Libyan coast. Good evening to you, Mia. What condition are the people in who were rescued? Can you tell us?
Well, I've spoken to one of the medics from Doctors Without Borders. They provided medical and still are providing medical care for the rescued people, check whether they're healthy, although it seems that some of these people have been at sea for many hours, if not days. The medical team support reported that they are largely in a stable situation right now. So, however, some survivors were suffering from fuel intoxication, and the MSF medical team are monitoring the people for fuel burns, which usually take a little while to develop. After exposure. Otherwise, dehydration is always a concern when people have been at sea for an extended period of time, with many complaining with aches and body pain.
And Mia, you've been talking to these migrants. What stories have they been able to tell you? Have they been able to share with you how they ended up on a rescue boat or on a boat in the Mediterranean?
Well, we just arrived just an hour or two ago from the last rescue operation, so I had the chance only to talk one or two of them. But let me first mention that we had two rescue operations today, one in the early morning local time, just after sunrise, and the second operation in the late afternoon local time. So two rescue operations that were totally different. In the morning, we had an oily sea, as they say here on the Ocean Viking. That means no waves, almost no wind. 84 people on a wooden boat were rescued. 40% of them came from Bangladesh, from Morocco, from Gambia and Algeria. The second operation was completely different. The weather changed during the day. We had strong wind, waves, approximately 98 survivors from sub-Saharan Africa. And most of them are from Nigeria, Ghana, or Senegal. I've just spoken to a 24-year-old man from Morocco and asked him, you know, how he ended up on the boat. And he said, you know, he would like to work in Germany as a baker. He has some friends in Bremen.
And do we know, Mia, what will happen to these migrants?
Well, this is really a great question. I've spoken to Nicolas Romagnoc from SOS Mediterranee, who is in charge of the rescue, search and rescue operation here on board. He told me that the Ocean Viking will probably continue to patrol course in international waters off the coast of Libya. I think we have to be ready to see more rescue operations in the hours, maybe days to come. And right now, no one really knows how long the rescue operation is going to last.
All right. DW's Miodrag Zoric on board the Ocean Viking in the Mediterranean off the coast of Libya tonight. Mio, thank you. Well, here are some of the other stories now that are making headlines around the world. Afghan President Ashraf Ghani has been declared the winner of September's presidential election, that following a recount. Ghani was reelected to a second term with just over 50% of the vote. His main opponent, Abdullah Abdullah, contested the election results. He is now vowing to form his own parallel government. The jury has begun deliberating in the trial of disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. It follows emotional testimony from many women accusing him of rape and sexual assault. Weinstein denies the charges, saying that any sexual conduct was consensual. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is due to face a hearing next week that will decide whether he can be extradited to the U.S. to face espionage charges. Assange is being held at a London prison while he awaits that hearing. The United States is seeking his extradition from the U.K. over his alleged role in the release of classified military and diplomatic materials by WikiLeaks in 2010. Now, he spent 7 years inside the Ecuadorian embassy in London in a bid to avoid extradition to Sweden, where he faced rape charges. Those charges have since been dropped. At a press conference today, WikiLeaks' current editor-in-chief said that Assange is no longer being held in solitary confinement and that his health is improving, but he warned of the consequences for press freedom if Assange is handed over to the U.S.
And WikiLeaks is a journalist organization, and the United States has no right to start equating proper investigative journalism and journalism on national security issues with espionage. That's outrageous, and if that sort of is allowed to go ahead, it sends a very serious signals to journalists all over the world.
Well, during their press conference in London, WikiLeaks editor-in-chief was joined by Julian Assange's legal team, and they talked about the extradition hearing that starts next week. DW's Birgit Maas, she was there, and she sent us this assessment.
Julian Assange's defense team have claimed that the case against him is part of U.S. President Donald Trump's war on journalism. They have described how Assange was held in isolation in a high-security prison in London to the extent that corridors were being emptied before he walked through. This has now eased, they say, and he's said to be in better health. The court case starts next week. Human rights lawyer Jennifer Robinson expects the legal proceedings to last for several years.
Birgit Maas there in London. You're watching DW News. Up next, business news with Rob Watts. Stick around for that. He'll be right back.